Hey, this is Seth Waters from Channel 9 coming to you from CodeMash with a very special project that we're working on. I have here Brian Sherwin. Tell us who you are and what you do. I guess I already told everyone who you are.
Yeah, so I'm Brian Sherwin. I'm out of Columbus, Ohio. And this conference has been going on for 10 years. And I've been to all 10 years of the conference. And so we've grown. Microsoft has sponsored this conference every year. And we decided we really wanted to take it up a notch this year. Mm-hmm. And so the conference has a lot of maker feel about it. Mm-hmm. And so we approached CodeMash about bringing all of those maker things into one space and calling it the CodeMash Factory.
Right.
And so that's where we're at the conference this year.
So the CodeMash Factory was something that started even in the pre-compiler time, but then it's moved on, and now today, specifically tonight, we're working on something even more special in the factory. Can you talk about that?
Right. So Thursday night of the conference, we have a party that goes almost all night. We have a water park party and all these things, and we have this thing called After Dark. And so After Dark, there's a lot of different things going on, and so we decided that we wanted to work with CodeMash to put on a very special event. CodeMash has always been about by the community, for the community, and we thought, how can we give back to the community?
Sure.
And so I had met some students at Ohio State University that had this program that they were rebuilding toys, and that fit what we were doing in the factory, so I said, hey, let's do this.
So rebuilding toys, they're already built though, aren't they? Why do we need to rebuild them?
So there are a lot of toys that are electronic toys that you have to squeeze the tummy to have it make any sound. And the problem is there's kids that can't squeeze the tummy of those toys to make them work. And so we are taking the toys apart and putting a switch inside that will allow kids with disabilities to use those toys in an interactive way.
And it's not just taking them apart, but there has to be some soldering. What kind of stuff has to be done in order to get these things to work?
So when you take apart a toy, you have to figure out what is the important interaction of that toy. Is it something that makes it spin? Is it something that makes it talk? Some toys will have two or three actions. So there's a little bit of probing to kind of find what's the important action. Then when you find that important action, we need to add a trigger switch in there. And that trigger switch is the little piece that we solder in. And it looks just like a headphone jack. And that headphone jack allows us to plug in different types of switches depending on different types of disabilities.
That's fantastic. How did you come up with the idea? How did you meet these folks at Ohio State?
So I met these folks at a presentation that I was doing on what I was doing at the factory, which was the Holiday Light Fight. And right after my talk, they got up and were doing a presentation on making these adaptable toys. And when I knew that Microsoft was coming to do the factory in the makerspace, the light just went off, and I just immediately knew it was a perfect fit to get them at CodeMash to make that a community project for CodeMash.
So how has the response been so far?
It's been phenomenal. We kind of kept it under wraps all week and told people, hey, we were going to do something special. And we have had 150 people show up tonight to our event.
What was the goal?
We actually kind of started with a much smaller goal. We initially thought 50 toys were going to be the right number. But as we were doing the planning and doing the communication, the team from Ohio State that came up to help us, their engineering team had talked with the family that we were doing this for, and the family asked if they could come and be a part of the event. And so, we couldn't be happier to have them join us. And so the family came up and joined us, and we knew that we were going to have to go bigger. And so we called the OSU engineering team and said, hey, can we get some more toys? And they actually blew the number up to 134 toys.
So that means that even with 134 toys, we still have more people than toys to be built.
Yeah, and so they work in teams of two or three because there's pieces. I mean, it's not just simply rebuilding the toy. It's unpackaging the toy and probing the toy, finding the different little pieces, and then packaging it back up so that it's back in the box and looks like a brand new toy But underneath the covers, we know that there's a little switch there that's going to make it work for kids with disabilities.
Hey there, this is Seth Waters from Channel 9 here with a very special guest. We're working on a very special project from Microsoft. Can you tell us who you are and who you represent?
Hi, I'm Heather Bennett with Caitlin's Crusade.
So what's Caitlin's Crusade? Tell us about that.
So Caitlin's Crusade is a nonprofit organization that was founded specifically for children with disabilities.
Okay.
So we can provide play opportunities for children with physical limitations that they may not get otherwise.
So for those that don't know about these kinds of physical limitations, what kind of toys are you providing and what kind of limitations are they helping overcome?
So most battery-operated toys have small switches, and it makes it difficult for children with not-so-good fine motor skills to be able to push those buttons and to play with them on their own. But it's so important for children to play, to learn cause and effect, and learn how to interact with their world. So by adapting these toys so that a larger switch can be plugged in, something that they can function with either their head or their foot or their hand, whatever physical abilities they do have, then they're able to play with these toys no matter what, regardless of what limitations they have.
So generally these toys don't come like this. How do you adapt them? Are you just taking regular toys or are you getting specialized toys? How does that work?
So we take any off-the-shelf battery-operated toy and we take it apart and we look at the circuit board. We figure out which circuit functions the switch to make the battery or to make the toy make music, sound, function, and then we solder a special wire to it, and that goes to a jack that plugs into the capability switch that we use.
That's fantastic. So you got to present this whole thing in front of 2,000 or so people. What was that like?
Yeah, well, it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
I looked at the room earlier in the day and thought, wow, that's a lot of people, and I've never done anything like that before. I've talked to small groups of people quite a bit about Caitlin's Crusade, as well as other projects that I'm working on. So, but it was definitely fun. It was a different experience. So,
how do you feel about the reaction so far? Are there a lot of people in there? Are people reacting good? Are things getting done?
Yeah, it's a great reaction. People are excited and they're passionate about what they're doing and where these toys are going to go when they're finished with them. And they know that the work that they're doing tonight has a real impact on the community, and it's going to impact some child that needs this toy to be able to play.
So this is a very personal thing for you. Can you tell us why?
Because Caitlin's Crusade was founded based on inspiration from our daughter. Her name is Caitlin, and she's 3 years old, and she was born with spina bifida. So she's been using adapted toys since she was 6 months old, and it has really helped her grow her fine motor skills to the point now where she can play with my phone or the computer and function her wheelchair and just do things that I really don't think she would be able to do as well had she not started out early on with adapted toys.
So these adapted toys not only function for the child's well-being, but it also helps them physically sort of progress, whereas others who don't need that can use that, right?
Absolutely, because our children learn by playing, right? Everything we play with, they're learning something, cause and effect, and how to interact with things. So it's important for children to be able to do that.
Can you talk about the first time you looked at a toy and you thought, I'm going to take this apart and fix it and make it better for Caitlin? Did you do that?
Oh, I did, and actually I didn't try to do it on my own at home. I was at one of Liz's workshops at Ohio State. And I mean, I'm an engineer, so I walked into this kind of with a big head. This is going to be easy, no problem. And I took the toy apart, and I looked at the circuit board, and I looked at the guy helping, and I'm like, what do I do now?
Right.
So it is kind of overwhelming process at first, but once we dug in and focused and figured out how to do it, now we can pretty much adapt anything.
So this is like the ultimate maker thing, where you're taking something that's already there and making it useful for those that have special needs. That's so awesome. Right. Well, where can people go to find out more about this? If they want to donate or give some time?
They can check out our website. It's caitlinscrusade.org, spelled with all K's, and there's information about the toy adapting program, our workshop schedule, powered mobility, and also how to make a donation.
That's so fantastic. Thanks so much for letting us serve in this capacity. We're very grateful for you and for what you do.
And thank you. We're grateful as well.
Hey, this is Seth Waters from Channel 9 coming to you from the Kalahari in the frozen tundra of northern Ohio, where there is a lot of lake effect snow, but not today. And we have here Liz Ryder from the Ohio State University. Tell us what you do there.
So I am an advisor and instructor for our first year engineering students at Ohio State.
Fantastic. And you are here tonight helping with a very special project. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So I am here helping with the toy adaptation project. I first learned about this from a student of mine. So 2 years ago, a student introduced me to the project. And we decided since then, it's a great project, teaches you really good engineering skills, but also gives back to the community. So we now teach this as a class in engineering.
That's fantastic. So how many toys have you folks adapted?
That's a great question. I don't have an exact number.
Millions.
It's not quite millions. It's definitely hundreds.
Okay.
Maybe close to 1,000. I don't know.
Could be
close to that. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
How did you find out about this project?
So a student of mine had done it at a different university, possibly Akron or maybe Case, had done it at a different university and brought the idea to me, and I decided, let's try to do it. Why are we not doing it at Ohio State? So let's bring it to Ohio State.
How did you get involved with Caitlin's Closet? Is that something new today or something you've been doing for a while?
No, we've been working with them also for about 2 years. Heather, actually the co-founder and president of Caitlin's Crusade, Caitlin's Closet, she contacted me. So she heard about these workshops and she attended one of our workshops. So after that collaboration, she started the nonprofit. So now all of our toys either are donated there or to Neislinger Center, which is at Ohio State.
So tell me about the kind of engineering skills, since you advise and instruct a lot of students at the Ohio State.
Yeah.
What are some of the engineering skills that they learn when doing these things?
Yes, so we do a lot of soldering. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of problem solving. You open these toys, you have no idea what to expect inside. Mm-hmm. Toys are changing all the time,
sure.
So we get new toys. And they have no idea what it's going to look like, so there's a lot of soldering, circuitry, trying to figure out how does the toy actually work. There's a lot of reverse engineering. That is the definition of reverse engineering, taking something apart and figuring out how it works. And then also the universal design, so figuring out this is a design that a lot of people with different types of needs can use.
That's fantastic. So tell me about the kind of toys that you've adapted so far, from the craziest to the easiest to some that just anyone can do at home.
Ah, yes. So there's not really a crazy one, but I think the best kind of toy to adapt is one where after you press the switch, so you're holding down the switch, you can see it move until you let go of the switch. And the reason why I say that's the best one is kids who are activating these, sometimes if they accidentally hit it and it goes off, they don't really understand that cause and effect. They don't really understand that they're causing the toy to activate. Whereas the ones where you hold them down, they're kind of called bump and go or like a remote control. They're activating them until they stop moving. And so it's much more beneficial to the child. Those ones are, I think, the best, the ones with the most value. We haven't had really any crazy ones other than those ball poppers. Have you seen the ball poppers?
Yes.
So every once in a while, so we a lot of times adapt these ahead of time to make sure that we know how to do them.
Sure.
So we were adapting a ball popper the other day, and those ones, there's balls flying
right
everywhere. So those ones are fun, but they are a little bit crazier.
If someone wants to sort of adapt a toy and then donate it, is there a process to do that?
Yeah, they could definitely do that. And we're actually working on making kits. So we had those kits today where, I mean, it has all the tools necessary. We usually put soldering irons and solder in there. So we're hoping to give these away to families or to community members so that they can adapt them on their own and also the training materials necessary to do so. So if they ever wanted to do that, they could do it on their own. They could request a kit from us and then they could just donate the toy.
That's awesome. Yeah. So how are the Codemash attendees doing at getting these things together?
They're doing really well. So some of them are working through them really fast, really quickly. I love seeing how they're problem solving together. So it's very different than a student trying to figure this out. They're usually a little bit nervous to fail. These people jumping right in, diving in, trying their best, and they're asking the right questions. A lot of them are coming up, we're done, can we do another toy?
Wow.
So they're just really excited to do it too.
That's awesome. So where can people go to find out more about these classes you teach and how they can get involved otherwise?
Yes, so we actually have a website. It's u.osu.edu/OSU tap.
Fantastic.
Sorry, it's hard to remember that one.
We'll put it at the bottom. It'll be
perfect.
Great. I'll get it for you. Well,
okay,
thanks so
perfect.
Much for what you do.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Hey, this is Seth Juarez coming to you from Codemash 2016 in the frozen Arctic of northern Ohio.
It is pretty cold.
It's pretty cold. Why don't you introduce yourselves?
My name is Matthew Curtis, and this is my wife, Catherine.
Fantastic. Hi. So you are Codemash attendees.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
How are you liking Codemash so far?
I think we had a great time.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
There's
yeah.
still like a whole other day.
Well, that's too. True. Well, we've been here since Tuesday.
Oh, so it feels like a long time.
It's been, 3 days for us.
So you both are technical folks.
Oh, yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
So what brought you to this special project? What are we doing right now?
We're building adaptive toys. So we're modifying an existing toy so that they can attach an adaptive switch to it so that a child who maybe can't, doesn't have the ability to squeeze this or, interact with it normally, can use a switch to interact with the toy so that they can still play with it.
So what attracted you to this particular project?
I like working with kids. We have a little brother from Big Brothers Big Sisters that we work with.
Mm-hmm.
And I like soldering things together. So
anytime there's soldering, she will be there. So let's have a soldering party one day. We all show up.
Yeah.
So tell me, what was it like taking Elmo apart and getting it to work? What did you have to do? What was the complications? Did you figure out really fast? You guys are just way smarter than me.
No, not really.
We thought it was going to be simple because, you know, he just Velcro's open in the back and we pulled his piece out and started unscrewing and this is going to be easy. And then you get it open and you're like,
whoa,
what? They had like glued over all of the connectors. So we had to, you know, file off all the glue and
what does this Elmo do?
He sings. He sings the ABCs. We can push his little button.
And so this adaptation allows, because there's a kid that might not be able to squeeze, instead they'll be able to push on something. And how do they connect it to that?
So there's a connection here. It looks like a headphone jack, but it connects to a bunch of different switches. And so a kid who might, you know, only be able to just reach out and tap will have a switch that they can reach out and tap. Or a kid who maybe can only blink, they might have a switch that's just actuated by their blinking. So any different kid could plug their particular type of switch into this connector. And then that way they have a library of these toys. So different kids can borrow the toy, plug their personal switch into it, use it for their, you know, their disability, and then the next kid can borrow it and have a different switch.
So let's get down to the nitty-gritty. How was the soldering?
It was a little bit tough because they had glued over all the connections, and then the bits that we did need to solder were right to the board instead of to an existing solder joint. So.
And of course they were, you know, half a centimeter apart from each other, so you had to make
sure you
solder the two together.
But, you know, he works now. And if we had a switch, we could plug the switch in. So he still works the way that he would normally work. If a kid could squeeze him, they could still play with him that way. Or if they had a sibling or something, that the sibling could play with him. And then it also, you know, if they had a switch, they could connect in it. So it will work both ways now.
That is so fantastic.
It was really fun.
What was it like? What was it? Was it hard? Was it good? How do you feel about doing this all now?
I mean, I feel good. They're like right down the street from our house, so we could go work with them. You know,
yeah, we actually found that out because the lady who runs the, Caitlin's
Closet?
Caitlin's Closet.
Apparently she's half a mile away from our house.
That's awesome. So you can solder to your heart's content at any time. If she's gone, you know where she'll be.
We'll be soldering somewhere.
Well, that's so awesome. Thanks so much for spending some time on this.
I know it's a worthy cause.
Thanks again for watching. My name is Seth Juarez. This is CodeMash 2016. You're watching Channel 9. We'll see you next time. Take care.